The Peter Hand Brewery Company, Brewers of Meisterbrau, presents Card Number 16 from the Crime Files of Flamand.
A new file card, Miss Lee. Popular nightclub comedian suspects someone of trying to ruin his act. Case more serious than it seems.
Flamand, the most unusual detective in criminal history. Flamand, famous psychologist and character analyst. Flamand, who looks beyond laughter and tears, jealousy and greed, to discover their basic origins. In just a moment, you will hear card number 16 from his amazing crime file. But first, here's a message from our sponsor. You folks have shown your appreciation of a good beverage by the way you've been buying Meisterbrau. So here's a toast, a Meisterbrau toast to taste pleasure. Yes, a Meisterbrau record has been made in and around this area. Why, every place you go, you hear folks ordering Meisterbrau. Because when people go to their favorite place for a few minutes' relaxation, they know a glass of tingling, sparkling Meisterbrau draft beer will hit their thirsty spot. There's an added zest, a mellow smoothness in Meisterbrau's old-time flavor that comes from percolating the finest, delicate flavors of expensive hops right through the brew. So taste the distinguished, satisfying goodness of this beer with old-time flavor. Just walk into your favorite spot and say, Meisterbrau, it's sure enough the beer. And to be sure that Meisterbrau will continue to be available, please return all empty bottles to your retailer as quickly as possible. And now, card number 16 from the Crime Files of Flamand. Tonight's story opens in Flamand's office with Danny Dole, the nightclub comedian, pouring out his trouble.
My name's Danny Dole, Flamand. I guess I don't have to tell you any more, do I?
No, not unless you want to, I suppose.
Oh, you're the nightclub comedian.
Yeah, nightclub, musical comedy, movies, radio. I guess they know me just about any place.
Well, I don't go in for nightlife much.
That's right, Mr. Dole. Doggone it. Honestly, though, Flamand, Danny Dole really is a nightclub celebrity.
Yeah, I suppose I am. You know, I always think the celebrities come to watch my act, but I guess I'm a celebrity too, huh?
Why, certainly.
But people don't ordinarily come to see me unless they have problems, Mr. Dole.
Well, my problem, Mr. Anthony, is... nuts. I guess I better be serious. Well, Flamand, somebody's trying to ruin me.
Ruin you?
Yeah. There's a deliberate attempt to crab my act, to keep my material from going over, from getting laughs.
Who in the world would want to do that?
Well, I got ideas, but I don't get all the angles. That's what bothers me.
Mr. Dole, why would anyone, by the wildest stretch of the imagination, want to spoil your act?
You know what I'm drawing down at the Club Lazetta, huh?
No, I wouldn't have the faintest idea.
$1,500 a week, and that ain't newspaper story, Dole. It's cash.
But who would be interested in getting you fired?
Well, for one, that crack-voiced sister that drools songs into a microphone, Sheila Ray. If it wasn't for her face and figure, her voice wouldn't get her a job calling trains in Winnipesaukee, North Dakota.
You think she's jealous?
Well, she had the top spot till I came in. She had her choice of leaving or taking a cut and staying on. Well, she stayed.
Well, theatrical jealousies are a bit out of my line. Unless they get to the point of physical violence.
There'll be physical violence if I get my hands on the louse that's trying to kill my stuff.
Fine. When there is, come around and see me.
One of the best gags in my whole act. Killed deader than a stiff on a morgue slab last night.
What was it, Mr. Dole?
I'm telling a story about duck hunting, see? Oh, it's a wow the way I do it. Never fails to get solid laughs. Usually stops the show cold. Why, the critics say
now, let's
that...
forget the critics.
Yeah. Okay. They ain't so hot anyways.
You're hunting ducks.
Yeah, and I go through all the imaginary movements of getting ready to shoot. I'm crouched down in the duck blind, shotgun up to my shoulder. All make-believe, you see. Mm. And then I make with the trigger.
When does the laugh come?
When I make with the trigger, A dead duck drops down from the ceiling over the heads of the customers.
Oh, how cute. Flamand, wouldn't it be a scream to get a dead duck in your soup?
That's the laugh. Nobody gets the duck. It's suspended by a thin wire. You can't see what's holding it, but it quits falling about 10 feet above the folks' heads.
Yes, I can see how that might get a laugh. The discomfiture motive.
Yeah, it's Sacco. But last night, it was strictly from hunger. I pull the trigger, nothing happens. There I am with my pants caught in the sprocket and my new departure coaster brake not working.
Hmm. And did you look over the mechanical contrivance that releases the duck?
Sure. Somebody put in a new spring and release lever that was too strong to let the duck fall.
Any idea who did it?
I know who'd have liked to have done it. That singer, Sheila Ray.
But do you have any proof?
Not a iota.
Mr. Dole, I think this is serious. Extremely serious.
Flamand, you're joking.
No, indeed, Sandra.
When somebody tries to kill your laughs, it's always serious, miss.
And, Mr. Dole, I think whoever's responsible for your trouble is interested in killing more than laughs.
Well, Dole, you gonna be funny tonight?
I ain't had any complaints till I hit this beanery, Gus.
At these other places, they must have been giving away dishes. But there's not more than 50 people out there for the supper show.
The word gets around when you clip the customers.
When I pay a comedian $1,500 a week, I expect to have an attraction.
I only been here 2 weeks. Folks will get wise.
About the way you miff your stuff?
I got nothing to do with the things that's been happening.
You're not liable to take care of yourself very well, are you?
I got a contract for 10 weeks. An airtight contract. That ain't doing so bad.
Suppose I throw you out and refuse to pay off.
Why, your joint would be closed in 2 hours. You couldn't get a band or an act.
Suppose you leave. Suppose you jump your contract.
That's not the way the number's written in my script, Mr. Clum.
There are ways of making people change their minds. I have some friends.
What about them?
They don't like people who get in my way. Sometimes they get mad about it.
You don't say.
Yeah. And when they get mad, they do funny things. A lot funnier things than you do in your act.
Like trying to kill a comedian's laughs?
Like maybe trying to kill a comedian. Period.
Come in.
Danny, Joe said to tell you that you go on 5 minutes early tonight. Oh, hello, Gus.
Evening, baby. How's the voice tonight, Sheila?
Good as ever.
No improvement? Oh, that's a pity.
It's good enough to get an encore in 5 bows, you ham.
Sheila, how come you bring Danny his messages about going on early?
Well, Joe asked me to.
You're doing what the head waiter says now?
Well, I was coming backstage anyway.
To Dole's dressing room?
No, to my own. What's eating you anyway?
How long were you standing outside that door before you came in? Answer me.
Hey, let go of my wrist.
What did you hear?
Nothing.
I'd remember that if I was you, kid. Exactly that. Nothing.
Flamand, I wish we'd get a client like Danny Dole at least once a week.
Why?
Well, it'd mean getting out in the evening with you once in a while. You know, you're really quite gallant when you relax and forget about being a character analyst and psychiatrist.
Oh, but darn it, Sandra, I'm not relaxing. This is a job.
You mean you took that egocentric little comedian seriously?
I'm afraid so.
You have a reservation, monsieur?
Why, I don't know. Danny Dole told us to tell Joseph our names. I'm Flamand.
Oh, but certainement, monsieur. Right this way.
Well... Mr. Dole certainly got us a good table.
His vanity wouldn't permit anything else.
You're a fine one, talking about vanity.
Oh, but I'm not vain, Sandra, really. I'm just sure that I know what I know, that's all.
Gee, this is fun.
Say, that's a gorgeous evening gown, Sandra.
You see, a night out even brings you to life.
The show's going to start.
Darn it, just when I thought I was getting somewhere.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Club Lucetta. The Club Lucetta, where you pay plenty for what you get. Ha ha, such happy faces. You know, for a bunch of 4Fs, you're the healthiest looking gang I ever saw. Oh, say, waiter.
Yes, monsieur?
Bring that young couple over there a bottle of champagne.
Yes, monsieur.
Put it on this man's bill over here. Well, tonight, folks, I'm going to open the festivities with my impression of The Hunt. Yerkes! Yerkes! This is the Brooklyn Hunt Club. Ah, imagine them bums chasing a little fox. I'm not a fox man myself. I'm a duck man. Oh, one day I'm blind, see? Out in the blind. Waiting for the ducks to fly over. From the north, I see a flock of 50 ducks heading south for a ducky little place on 71st Street. These are southern ducks. I hear them quacking as they get closer. Quack, quack, you all. Quack, quack, you all. Well, I pull my shotgun out of my pocket. I can carry it there because the pocket has a hole in it. I get down on one knee, just like Jolson. I put the gun to my shoulder. Then I wait. You know why I wait? Because I remember the old adage, never shoot into a flock of ducks till you can see the whites of their eyes. I wait. The ducks get closer. The time is right. I pull the trigger.
Sandra, look out!
Sandra, darling.
Is she hurt?
No, just fainted. I shoved her off a chair just in time.
That's a swell gag, that is. Switching my duck on a wire for a lead duck. Why, this thing must weigh 25 pounds.
And it was not on the wire, Monsieur Dole.
Joseph, isn't there somewhere we can take her?
Yes, monsieur. Down to Monsieur Klum's office.
Okay. But whoever tried to murder Sandra is going to pay. And pay plenty. Sandra, dear. It was all my fault. I shouldn't have brought you here.
Monsieur, her eyelids, they are flicker.
Oh, I've been all right for a couple of minutes. But I didn't want to stop that pretty speech.
Deceitful wretch.
Well, I know one thing. After this, when you tell me that interfering with the comedian's laughs is serious business, I'll believe you.
I don't get it.
I think maybe I do. Joseph, why did you seat us at that particular table we occupied?
Why, Miss Ray, the singer, she came to me.
Came to you and what?
She say, Monsieur Klum, the manager, he have ordered this table for the guest of Monsieur Dole.
I heard that, Joseph.
You're getting the habit of listening in on other people's conversations, ain't you?
It looks like a healthy thing to do around here.
She's the one. She told me.
How about that, Miss Ray?
Well, you're not pinning this onto me.
Do not you dare to deny it. You have told me.
You hated me, Sheila, because I kept you from getting top villain and top dough.
I'm not denying that I told Joseph about the table. Oh, you admit it. But what could you possibly have against me? You don't even know me. You're forgetting one thing. One awfully important thing. What's that? I told Joseph that Gus Klum told me to tell him. And Gus told me it was very important.
It is funny, that. Very funny.
What's so funny?
That Monsieur Klum is not around with all this excitement.
Say, I haven't seen him at that.
The last time I saw him was across the room when we were bringing Miss Lake down here.
But he must still be upstairs. He wouldn't dare try getting away. Come on.
Monsieur, do you have a revolver?
Never carry one. Don't worry.
Oh, but Monsieur Klum is a dangerous person.
The frog ain't kidding, Flamand.
Say, somebody tapping on that window.
Your nerves are getting the best of you, Sandra.
Just the same, I'm going to pull up that shade and see.
Gus Klum with a rope around his neck.
Oh! Yes.
We'll have to get him in here.
The rope's tied to a little exit balcony upstairs.
Here, I'll cut the rope. You two fellows pull him in.
I have him.
So he committed suicide when he saw he was going to get caught.
Suicide? Oh, no, Miss Ray. There's the impression of a knife point against his stiff shirt, right over his heart. Gus Klum was forced out the window. He was murdered.
Folks, first time you try Meister Brown, the famous dated half gallon, you'll find real beer drinking pleasure because Meister Brown is brewed to give you an all-grain flavor and distinguished character. It's brewed the old-time way by the same methods as more than 50 years ago when it was first made. And now, thanks to a revolutionary method, there's added zest in Meister Brown because delicate hop flavors are actually percolated through the brew. This keeps the beer smooth. And besides all this, in Meister Brau, there's natural sparkle and life that's a joy to behold. For this old-time brew is bottled with only natural draft beer carbonation. So, you can easily see, friends, there's a difference in Meisterbrau. Stop at the place you buy beer and ask for Meisterbrau in the dated half gallon. It's tap fresh, the convenient size serves 8 to 10 people. Enjoy some tonight, tomorrow, sure. And folks, to be sure that Meisterbrau will continue to be available, please return all empty bottles to your retailer as quickly as possible. The second act of tonight's story opens in Gus Klum's office in the nightclub. All the patrons have left as Flamand continues his search for Klum's murderer.
So it was Gus Klum who told you to have me put the detective and the girl at table 16.
That's what I said, isn't it?
Oh, certainly.
Well, it's true.
You don't believe Miss Ray, Joseph?
No, I always believe a lady, mademoiselle. But it is unfortunate, is it not, that Monsieur Klum is dead?
Unfortunate or convenient? Me, I wouldn't know which.
I'd keep that funny mouth shut if I were in your big shoes, Danny boy.
Yeah, why?
I heard the row you had with Klum tonight.
I thought you wasn't listening.
I was listening, all right. It was quite a thing to listen to.
What was it, Miss Ray?
Gus Klum tried
Shut up, you. I'll make you sorry you ever opened your mouth.
Like you made Gus sorry.
Go ahead, Miss Ray. What did you hear?
Gus tried to get Danny to tear up his contract because the act wasn't going over. Gus was losing money on
That's
it.
That's a lie.
He told the funny man that if he didn't quit, things would happen to him.
Sure, he threatened me. So what? I called his bluff and he tried to crab the act.
Why, you big ham. You think that lead duck took its dive to crab your act? Just how important do you think your act is?
I agree, mademoiselle. A man does not attempt murder to spoil a nightclub act.
All right, voice of experience. I'm getting mad. I'll give you a thing or two to think about.
You'll have to get it out of a book.
Gus Klum was standing across the dining room when the rest of us came down here. Joseph and Flamand and his secretary and me. None of us left this room.
Flamand?
You were still upstairs, cracker voice. And after you came down here, we found Klum had done a one-way stretch.
No. No, you can't pin it on me. I didn't do it. There's only... Oh.
What were you going to say, Miss Ray?
Nothing. I'm afraid maybe I've said too much already.
I see what you mean. I think I'll have a few private interviews.
You have sent for me?
Yes. Tell me, Joseph. How was the club Lisetta doing?
Very badly, monsieur.
Then I don't see why Klum hired an expensive act like Danny Doe.
Oh, that was the reason, monsieur. Monsieur Klum have been doing a little less than, break even. He reasoned that he needs a big-time act. Something terrific. So, Danny Doe.
Smart business.
Unfortunately, no. Instead of losing a little, he started to lose $1,500 a week.
Where did Klum get all his money?
We had some very unsavory friends who used the Lisetta as a meeting place. It was worth something to them. And I hardly know how to say...
How to say what?
He owed me nearly $6,000.
You loaned him $6,000?
Oh, but yes.
How does a head waiter get that much money?
Oh, a good head waiter make a great deal. And I am a very good one.
With the club doing so badly... How come you risked your money?
Oh, the club was not doing well, but I was doing all right. It does not take many $5 and $10 table reservations to do well.
Maybe you're in the wrong business, Flamand.
Mm. Is there anything else you wish to know?
No, you told us a great deal, Joseph.
Thank you, monsieur. Now, if I can help, call on me. Is it all right for me to go home now?
Sure, go ahead. And tell the rest it's okay to leave.
Thank you.
Well, what next?
We're going to take a look for the knife. The knife that forced Gus Klum off the balcony. Hello there. Drafty back here, isn't it?
Yeah. No one here. Everybody's left. And I don't see what you expect to find.
That knife, with any luck. Where's Dole's dressing room?
Dole? Flamand, you surely don't think he...
I have to take every possibility. Where is it?
Right next to Sheila Ray's. Here.
Fine. Come on.
Hey, just a minute. Thought I heard something.
Oh, just your imagination.
No. Somebody's watching us. Following us.
Sandra, your imagination. Funny, there's no lock on the door.
Evidently, Gus Klum didn't want his performers to have any secrets.
Well, the devil's a light switch.
What was that?
Somebody threw a knife at us. And missed, fortunately.
The door!
Forget it. Whoever did the knife-throwing act is gone now. Hey, maybe this is the light switch.
Danny, door! dead?
No, not dead, Sandra. He's breathing. Just been hit over the head. And here's the knife. Well, that's something.
I don't get it.
But of course, Sandra. This is the same knife that was used on Gus Klum.
Well, fancy see... Danny, what's happened to him?
Oh, he'll be all right. But I thought you'd gone home.
Oh, well, I thought I'd do a little investigating of my own.
Oh, where am I? What happened?
You know where you are, all right. And you know what happened. You came here to get rid of the knife.
Knife? What knife?
The one stuck in the wall. You were going to hide it. You heard the detective come in. You threw the knife, pulled the door shut, and pretended to be knocked out.
Yeah? Somebody was in here when I came to lock up my stuff. I was hit over the head from behind. Not too hard. Not any harder than you could hit.
You arranged the whole business to keep from looking bad.
I never looked bad in my life.
You knew Gus was going to give you the bounce. The publicity would have ruined you. And so you figured you had to make him look like a murderer and get rid of him at the same time.
You tell me how I could hang Gus while I was down in his office and him upstairs, and I'll get you 52 weeks booking.
I don't know how you did it, but you figured out how to drop a lead weight on somebody's head. You're crazy anyway.
Arrest her, Flamand. She told Klum to seat you and your secretary at the table under the lead duck. She came down after Klum was hung. It had to be her.
So, you have caught them. Oh, congratulations, monsieur. Have they confessed?
They? You think Dole and Miss Ray were working together?
Certainement. These spats, they're an act. Mademoiselle Ray was mad because Klum demoted her from top billing. Dole was mad because he was about to be fired. They plan a dual revenge.
Oh, that's a new version, Flamand.
And not a very good one, Sandra.
You don't believe me? Dole had to invite you here. The woman told me to seat you at the death table.
I think we've had about enough excitement for one evening. It's time to call a halt to this foolishness.
You mean you know who's responsible?
Certainly. But you seem to be enjoying yourself so much, I hated to spoil things. I do need a little sleep, though.
Flamand, you're the most exasperating man in the world.
I suppose Joseph will feel the same way about it.
Sure, he's the guy. That's what I was going to say before, when I was afraid.
I see it all. You have gotten together. I am to be the, or what you call, fall guy. I was not in the room when Klum was murdered.
Oh, but you were, Joseph.
He was still there when we carried Miss Lake to his office.
Who says so? Who saw him? Only you, Joseph.
That's right. We all been taking his word that Klum was still alive. In the excitement, we didn't pay attention to anything but the accident.
It is a frame-up, but it is one frame-up that will not work. Stick them up, all of you.
Say, that's my revolver you got.
And I will use it on you, too, if you try to get funny. Stand back, funny boy. Take one step nearer me, and I will shoot.
You ain't got the nerve, Joseph.
I have not, eh? All right.
I got him, Flamand. Here, take the water pistol and hit him over the head with it. Just enough to cool him off a little, like he did with me.
No, really. Mr. Dole, how do you think that's necessary?
Squeamish, huh? I'll do it. There.
He's guilty, all right, Flamand. But I don't get the pitch. Make with the words.
Klum always stood over by the balcony exit to watch the acts, didn't he?
Sure, but that's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, but it has. It was easy for Joseph to get out on the balcony a few minutes before and tie the loose end of a noose of rope around the railing.
Easy as feeding ham to a comedian.
And the second the lead duck started falling, Joseph slipped the noose over Klum's head and pulled him through the exit door. With his knife, he forced Klum over the edge. Then he stepped back inside.
Oh, but surely, Flamand, somebody would have seen him.
Not at all, Sandra. He was a shrewd killer. He knew that all eyes would be on what he expected to be another murder in the center of the room. He knew that the human eye can't resist following the broadest sweep of movement.
But why'd he do it, chum?
Either he wanted to get his money back from Klum's estate, or wanted to get control of the Club Lisette.
He tried to buy it. I know that. But Miss Ray said Klum gave instructions to seat us at that table.
Klum wanted to get rid of Danny Dole's act. Joseph tipped him off that Dole had hired a detective.
Okay, so far.
And Joseph said he had a way to get rid of Dole, but mustn't be suspected. Joseph had Klum send Sheila to him with instructions.
Well, that adds up, mister.
I knew it couldn't be Danny or Sheila. It had to be Joseph. Everything pointed his way.
But why did he try to murder me?
He didn't. What was supposed to be a murder at the table was purely incidental to him.
Nice guy, Joseph. Say, he was the guy that was killing all my jokes.
You can't murder the dead, Danny.
Armand and Sandra will be back in a moment with a basic clue in tonight's story. But right now, here's some information that can help everyone. Folks, it's a fact that Meisterbrow rhymes with the scheme of good, enjoyable living. So make evenings at home more pleasant by keeping a couple of big, economical, dated half gallons of Meisterbrow, genuine, tap-fresh draft beer in your refrigerator. Meisterbrow has a full, tingling, satisfying flavor that makes it an all-year-round drink. For Meisterbrow is a beverage of moderation, brewed the old slow way of more than 50 years ago. Next time you order beer, get Meisterbrow. And as you pour out a foaming glass of this fine old-time brew, notice its natural sparkle and life, along with the old-time all-grain flavor. And when you taste it, notice that added zest, for Meisterbrow has mild, tasty hop flavors percolated through the brew. Yes, the first time you try Meisterbrow, you too will say, Meisterbrow rhymes with my way of living. And to be sure that Meisterbrow will continue to be available, please return all empty bottles to your retailer as quickly as possible. And now the basic clue in tonight's story.
Flamand, you said you knew neither Danny Dole nor Sheila Ray could be the murderer.
Yes, that's right.
But I don't see how.
Well, first I could eliminate Danny because the dead duck trick didn't work the night before the murder.
Oh, that doesn't make sense, Flamand.
Oh, but it does. You see, there was one person in the room who wouldn't be particularly impressed by the duck's descent. One person who might possibly see the murder.
Danny Dole?
Right. He'd seen it so many times it wouldn't impress him. So the murderer had to be sure Danny would have his eyes on the duck. He made sure by fixing things so the duck wouldn't work.
Oh, and then Danny had to watch it the next night, huh?
Of course.
But Sheila Ray, how could you be so sure she didn't do it?
Well, because she delivered the message to Joseph that he was to seat us at the dead duck table.
What does that have to do with it?
Delivering that message and admitting she delivered it made her look guilty as all get out. Had she actually been guilty, she'd have done exactly what Joseph did. Planted suspicion on someone else.
Yeah, but what made you suspicious of Joseph?
His saying that he'd seen Clum across the room when we carried you down to the office.
I don't see anything suspicious about that.
Had he really seen Clum, he'd have asked him to go down to the office with us instead of going himself. And I can't imagine the owner of a place staying away from the kind of excitement we created, can you?
No, of course not. Well, I have the title for tonight's file card.
What is it?
The Case of the Squealing Duck.
The Case of the Squealing Duck. Card number 16 from the Crime Files of Flamand, featuring William Everett as Flamand and Patricia Dunlap as Sandra. Look for card number 17 when the Peter Hand Brewery Company, Brewers of Meisterbrow, brings you the Case of the 24 Bottles. Next Tuesday, same time, same station. Tune in same time Friday night for another Peter Hand dramatic show. Yes, tune to this station every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday at 9:30 for thrilling stories presented by the Peter Hand Brewery Company. You can see as well as hear two thrilling new detective programs, The Crime Files of Flamand every Tuesday night and Mystery House every Saturday night at 9:30 to 10 o'clock in WGN Studio Theater. Plenty of tickets still available for the next broadcast. Write WGN Chicago 11 and tickets to either or both shows will be mailed at no cost to you. This is WGN Chicago 11.